The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Let us go a little bit today as the Lord has been helping us, teaching us on issues of righteousness. I tell you, I didn't know that righteousness is as serious as this matter. Hebrew said to the church of the Hebrews, or the church of the Hebrew, well, scattered abroad, I think that's St. Paul, the same people that Peter wrote to, the Jewish Christians, all over the places. That's where you have the book of Hebrew. It's a letter to the Hebrews. And he was speaking concerning a man called Melchizedek. Melchizedek, that seemingly strange man. And he said, hearing him, there are things that are hard to be altered, seeing that ye are dull of all therein. This man, who has no descent, who has neither father nor mother, he had no descent, he had no genealogy, you couldn't trace him a human lineage. And this man is a priest, you know, neither he doesn't have beginning of days nor end of life. I like the word he said, end of days, end of life. It's not days. He neither have beginning of days nor end of life. He captured that endless life, but made like in pattern unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Abides a priest continually. So when he was going to speak about this man, the Hebrew church, who actually were of the Levitical priesthood, and who supposed to have good understanding of priesthood, amen, who should have a good grasp of priesthood, Paul was writing, but as he was writing, he was feeling a limitation in his writing. You know, he was not preaching, he was writing, but actually when he was writing, he was preaching. You know, the tongue of the pen of a ready writer was writing, as he was writing, he was preaching in his writing. But he felt a disconnect, he felt a limitation. So he said, you are dull of hearing. Why are they dull of hearing? Because these people are not mature. He described that in chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. See, ye are dull of hearing. Why are they dull of hearing? Let's see. Time when ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. That one teach you again. There's something that should be teachers of. There's a foundational thing that there should be teachers of. Hallelujah. It does not mean that there should be teachers in the fivefold ministry. We're not talking in the morning here. We say teaching and admonishing one another. It means that you have clear understanding of this matter. Clear, say it to one another. Praise God. You have a clear grasp of new birth, clear grasp of the infilling of the Spirit and the gifts around it. God, clear grasp of walk of faith and basics like that. Praise God. Which he called meek of the word, which was necessary for one that we do well in higher things. Praise God. If a man does not have good right deal of meek, does not develop a good bone, it doesn't develop good teeth, it doesn't have develop good jaw to buy for stronger food. Praise God. So these are children. He said, you are not able to handle. Why? Because you need to be teaching again the issue, principles of the oracles. That's the elementary principle, the basic principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need again. You have overgrown milk, right? Amen. But you need milk again. That's why you need to be taught again. And not of strong meat. What's the strong meat? Let's see verse 13. What's about the strong meat? For everyone that uses the word meek is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So strong meat is righteousness. Word of righteousness. What matures you is the word of righteousness. For he is the babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Not to even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So to build a believer just for the point of maturity when he can discern between good and evil, he needs strong meat. He needs the word of righteousness. It's not just young believers. No. It's something you're going to heat from level to level until you become a full age. When you have strong bone, you have senses fully developed. Sense of judgment, sense of perception, sense of insight, sense of wisdom. That is talking about the development of the total man, the man Christ. So you can see here, he was not talking about developing your gifts. He was talking about developing your personality. That's building a personality. That's the reason for the word of righteousness. You can see that the whole gospel, actually speaking, is word of righteousness. Righteousness revealed from faith to faith. You're going to be leaving one school to the next school. Praise God. Leaving the basic school of righteousness. The meek itself is a word of righteousness. But it's not the complete or the full word of righteousness. Is the elementary, I went the elementary principle of Christ. But Christ himself is righteousness. So the elementary principles of Christ are the introductional teachings of righteousness. Ray, the house please. Until you come to the full teaching, full blown teaching of righteousness. I like God teaching. I thought you call it reign of righteousness. Teaching of righteousness, what's called reign of righteousness. You talk about you in the prophets. God was telling Israel how the Lord will come. They will come to you. The Lord will come to you. How will he come to you? He will come to you with the rain. With the former rain and the latter rain. He will come with the former rain moderately. Explaining how they will come. He was opening the curriculum of how the rain will come. The knowledge and how they will be blessed. When I say rain actually is the coming down of God, or is the release of knowledge of God. Ask ye the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make a bright cloud and will cross a shower. So that shower is actually teaching. When the priest is teaching, is shower. That's why when you are teaching, you will come to shower, and if you look at the microphone you are used to teach. What happens when the microphone becomes wet? You are raining. As you teach, you rain. So the Lord will come to us as a rain. He will come to us as teacher. Amen. Describing how the Lord come. Let's go back to that place. He will come as a former rain and the latter rain. Joel 2:22. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain. Describing how he gave it moderately, and we cause to come down to you. It's the Lord, rejoicing God. The Lord will come. The Lord will come as rain. Amen. The Lord will come to us. Say, Lord, let the Lord come to us. You come as rain. You come as water. You come as you distill upon us as dew. You bring teaching, the refreshing, preachings of transformation. Preachers of empowerment. I went in the house, please. That will cause the seed to break forth and the grass to grow, and we cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So the Lord will cause come to you the rain, then both the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So the Lord will cause come to you the rain, then it will cause to come to you also at once, former rain and latter rain. Because rain in Israel is divided into sections and season for crops to grow up. Amen. God used the agricultural season of Israel to explain or to teach how he will come to his people. When the Lord is coming, it's true the Lord is coming. How will he come? Because they have told us how the Lord will come. It's through rapture. So the church about that, when it says, Jesus is coming. What are you talking about? Rapture. So we are not getting the benefit of his coming to us, because we don't know how he will come. And there has been a lot of teaching trying to describe how he will come. You know, we have seen pictures about when he will come. The Lord will descend from heaven and the saints will be caught up. When they are caught up, and there will be commotion on the earth. Is that not true? And you see yourself flying unto glory. Ah, fly away. Amen. These are the things we grew up with. It didn't really help us. It didn't really help us because we're not able to benefit from the Lord's coming. That's why I say, it is that the Lord will come. The Lord's coming. He's coming. If he's coming, then that's why first is proceeding. Another way for that coming that is proceeding. The whose proceeding has been from everlasting. He has always been coming. The one who is, was, and will keep coming. Jesus will keep coming. He has come. Keep coming. Hallelujah. Actually, I don't know how he used to come. When he finally comes, you won't know it. I think he will come for those who has received him, who has received the Lord over and over again. That the one who will know when he will do the final appearance. Meanwhile, he wants us to know how he comes today and to receive him when he comes today. Do you understand what I'm saying? In one of the prophecies that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, the heaven has received Jesus until the time of restitution. Heaven received him. Can you see that? On the time when heaven will give him back. Restitution means giving back. Heaven took him once, but heaven will give him back using times of returning back. They will return him back over and over until he's completely returned. God, you have to understand that Jesus is not just that he's a Jesus, but it's also a blessing. It's also the one who holds all things of God, who constructs all things of God. So there are things he inherited that made him. He can also return them back. He can give them out gradually. Are we in the house, please? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like it. Whom the heaven must receive until the times. Come on, say times. Say, please. So when the wave of new birth came on the church, it was the time. And that's what Jesus came back. Jesus came back. Heaven gave Jesus. Gave Jesus. When it was time for the Pentecostal power, it's time to give Jesus. So heaven has been given Jesus, and they will keep giving him until he fully gives Jesus. He will fully give Jesus. That is what the mouth of the prophet spoke before the word began, that Jesus will come. Do you understand? So the prophet has spoken. It's not just to preach Jesus. It must be revealed to us, how will this man come? How will the Lord come? The Lord from heaven, how will it come? And then he will give him as rain. Like he gave to Israel rain for their blessing. When it is time to harvest grain, he gave rain. When it's time for the trees to bring forth wine, he gave rain again. So he made the rain to be early rain and the latter rain. Early rain, latter rain. So he was saying, the Lord will give the former rain, or early rain, or former rain. And in the process also, there's a way it happens that when they have the former rain, they can have it moderate former rain. It's not heavy rain. It's just enough rain to soak the land, to allow the land to be cultivated. After a long dryness, the land. You bring the rain, and the land will be cultivated. He's using all of that. What's the land? The Lord is my portion. What is defined? My soul is the land. It's the portion of the Lord in the land of the living. Among the realm of the living, it's my soul that is the portion of the Lord. It's God's inheritance. I went to the house this. It's just finding your soul as a land. As a place that heaven needs to bring rain to. Why? It has a long cessation of rain. And nothing of God can survive there. Though you add righteousness by reason of faith, by reason of believing Jesus, but it cannot germinate. They need to come upon the land so that the seed of God can grow. Without the rain, you will depend on the gift of the Spirit only to survive. Praise God. So, it will give it moderately. Then it will cause to come down the rain, which is like the full former rain. No, he has given it moderately. Right? Come to bring a season when we bring the full rain, full former rain, or they call it the rain. Then it will give the latter rain, the rain of the end. It's now saying that in this prophecy, that it will give both latter rain and former rain together at the end. Oh my God. Because normally in Israel, it's normally become just the latter rain. Say no, I'm going to make the latter rain to also come with former rain in the first month. Hallelujah. You see, God gave God's word. Same thing with Hosea. It's going forth or it's coming. It's going forth, it is coming. Yet, bed as the morning. And it shall come unto us as the rain. Can you see that? As the latter rain. And the former rain unto the Jews. So God has spoken through all of these prophets. Do you understand? Telling us how and thus will come. So when Jesus came in the flesh, just came, he was born on earth like that. And at 30 years, he appeared as the Son of God. It looked as if he has come, but he has not really come. He has not really come. His first coming was to fulfill the law. Is that not? He didn't come for us. He came to the Jews. He came to fulfill the law. After he has fulfilled the law, he closed it. And opened the new. Amen. So now, there has to be a way that you can receive him. So for James, he called it the patient, therefore, but unto the coming. Can you see? Come and say coming. Not the ing coming. Be patient unto the coming. You must know how to stay to receive the Lord in all the seasons. The old husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So the earth must bring forth fruit to God. There must be harvest of the earth. Amen. And he's going to wait for it. Praise God. So I want us to know that it's going to be teaching righteousness. So all those rain are called rain of righteousness. It's rain of righteousness that will produce complete fruiting, yeah, on the earth. It's righteousness. Come on, say righteousness. Say it again, please. So Paul said, "You meek, you can't receive it. You didn't receive the meek properly. You didn't receive the initial, the former rain. The meek actually is the former rain. It's the former rain. That's the meek." You didn't receive that meek. So you needed the meek again. As you can't receive the rain, and that's the full former rain, and the latter rain. Righteousness. All of that is teachings of righteousness. It's knowledge of God, of the righteousness of God. Or, let me say again, the right way that things work. And then you always say, we see the work of righteousness. W-O-R. The work. Because righteousness is to work. So what changes us? Righteousness, it works in us. Amen. Righteousness. Once you enlist in the school of righteousness and move from level to level, we will come to the experience of every other thing. You come to judgment. Amen. You come to holiness. You come to peace. Amen. What I say, you come to judgment. You come to holiness. You come to peace. Part of that are the various experiences that comes in the journey of righteousness. That's why Samuel says, and he leaded me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When you're on the path of righteousness, you come into various experiences on that mount. Let's read together or recite Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I always teach that, the Psalm 23 is just verse 1. The many verses are the explanation on how the Lord is my shepherd and I am satisfied or I am complete. You know, it's only a man in Christ that is complete. It's only Christ that is complete. Christ is the only one that is complete. He doesn't need anything to be. He's complete. So if the Lord is my shepherd, it means that I will arrive at completeness. Amen. Or I will be fully made. I will be completely made. You know that in Colossians, Epaphras prayed. Paul said he prayed without ceasing for the saints that they will be perfect and complete in all the will of God. They needed for perfection that they will stand perfect. That he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, it's that there's the measure of perfection and there's the place of completeness. But the place where God wants us to arrive at is completeness. God wants you to be complete. And the reason for being your shepherd is to make sure, to ascertain that you are complete. The only book I read and I get satisfied with is the Bible. It's a complete. If that answers to everything, it is. Just check somewhere else, you'll find the answer. Somewhere you'll find the answer by revelation. You'll find the answer. You're going to just find a complete picture of an intention of God that He has put in the hands of so many people. The Bible is about it. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. You know, some religions, their trust is the book they read. It's a book. And they believe the book is perfect. The book does not contain any human inclusion or involvement. But they say the book is eternal. They don't believe in it eternal. They believe that only God is eternal. But they don't believe the book is eternal. So that book is co-equal with God. Is that not true? If it's eternal, then it's co-equal. But you say there's only one God. We say there's triune God. You argue with us. God has no child. God has no son. He can't be God. But there's God. You give him a name. And there's another book that has a name. God is eternal. The book is eternal. How many of them? Amen. We don't say Bible is eternal. Okay? Bible is the bread of God through holy man. So you can see there are sound talent. The son of the man are in it. I will in the house please. But the will of God also is embedded in it. The eternal will, thought of God, the future of the universe, the future of creation is in those things. So we don't argue verses. No, we don't argue verses. You got the Bible? No, we don't argue verses. The will of God, the thought of God is fully inside it. Amen. I don't understand how you read the Bible, so you're involved in arguments. So you see, how can the Bible say? How can the Bible say? No. It's only men of God who speak. I didn't say God arrested them. They were fully aware when they were speaking. But they were speaking by the Spirit, okay? It means that since say you are speaking by the Spirit, you are drunk. When you are drunk and you are speaking, you are still fully involved. Is that what I'm saying? But sometimes, what you want to be done will be coming to it. Meanwhile, the wine is controlling you. Is that all right? But you still have some things. You will see a dish, and you feel like jumping to it. The wine is making you like jumping there. So you can see man's resistance and see the effect of the wine. So when you open your Jeremiah, you will see Jeremiah's language there. You will see his thoughts there. But also there are the thoughts of God. Do you understand? So we don't get involved in all the rattling. No. We can see God's thoughts, okay, right? It's not. The Bible says in verse. That's what they used to divide the church. The Bible says in verse, in verse. Oh, not speak as they were carried or drunken with the Holy Ghost. So, the Bible is not eternal. Okay? Praise God. But eternity is inside of it. People have time to get on the air, speak against Christianity, against the church, against the Bible. But they won't give us 1 hour, just 1 hour. To also open what they open. You don't want to do that. Samara State. They won't give you an hour on the air. They won't give you an hour on the air. But hours here on the air. They won't give you an hour on the air. Praise God. Are you here with me? So the Lord will come. So when He comes to us, He will come in various manners of teaching. So it means that the Lord wants us to be complete. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the next thing. He maketh me. That's how He's going to make me. How will I come to completeness? So make me to lie down in the pasture. The green pasture. The green pasture is the initial introduction to food. Is the place I'm going to learn to eat and rest. Rest. Eat. Rest. Eat. Rest. He leadeth me. I love that. He leadeth me. Beside the still waters. All the next thing. He restored my soul. He restored my soul. He leadeth me. When my soul is restored, then I could be led. Because I couldn't go forward in this place. If I'm at war, if I'm striving, if I'm striving, if I'm striving in my spirit against my soul, I can't make progress on the path of righteousness. So they have to lead me to ensure that my soul is fully restored. Now that's where we are today here. That's what we have to open this evening. Amen. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name. The path of righteousness is the place to obtain His name. It's for His name's sake. So anybody who wants to obtain the name of the Lord must works of righteousness. So defining how the terrain is. When I was with friends, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And the path of righteousness, as I was going, sort of that, I know evil, for thou art with me. So I've come to a place where I can discern your presence with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they balance me, they settle me, they remove all the agitation and the fears from me. Then I need to move into another eating. It's not like the grass before, it's now table. I need to eat the things that pertain to your essence of life. The first one I ate was to help me to walk. I walk through the valley of the shadow. It doesn't matter. I've heard of people. I know very soon I'm going to come to a place where His table will be set in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. On the feeding, it comes with anointing. It comes with my cup runs over. I come to fullness. Fullness. Surely goodness. Mercy. Shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Surely goodness. Just in the pathway of righteousness, I've gathered goodness. I've mastered goodness. So anywhere I go with goodness, mercy. It only means that I'm going to be part of God's building forever. Such building, such material cannot be away from God's building. Amen. Praise God. So he's just telling us about God's eternal abode. How a man will become God's eternal abode. And that's New Testament. Praise God. If anybody loves me, I will love him also. And I will manifest myself unto him. If anybody loves me, I will love me. I and my Father will come and make our abode. First of all, I will come to him first. But next time, I won't come alone. It is I and my Father that will come. That's God's eternal building, eternal abode forever. Now, you can see, I'm not trying to say that it is righteousness from faith to faith. It's just chapters of righteousness. Chapters of how God will work his intention. How God will work in us. Because we must become his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In the Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Praise the Lord. Are you being blessed at all? The scripture is beautiful when the Spirit enlightens us. Wow, wow. God, who cannot lie? Sometimes look at your life, is lying until he shed light. The devil brings all our doubts in our heart. All these things you are living for now. What is all this thing you are living for now? What is this one now? How's it going? He takes you from the realm of certainty and brings the realm of uncertainty and just makes everything look so bleak. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Before now, I used to think, go back there. Come unto me, all you that are at labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Full stop. I used to think there's an initial rest and all of that. No. As I read this place, I look at Psalm 23. That everything about what is to be spoken in the next verse is inside this place. I will give you rest. It means you must arrive at rest. We can't guarantee your further journey if you don't arrive at rest. Because the guarantee of it is that God is going to rest in us. So, if you don't get to this rest, the journey next, we arrive at God resting in us. Where is the place of my rest? And house have you built for me? So it means that the Almighty is looking for a place of rest. Amen. All this heaven and the earth, they are the works of my hand. I don't want to dwell in the work of my hands. Because in eternity I was dwelling in myself. I went in a house place. So if my hands have made the heaven and the earth, to me, what my hands wrought is inferior to what my face produced. My real self is my face. Amen. You can use your hand to do something against what is in your heart. Is that not true? But your face can't betray who you are. Because as water is so, the face of a man shows upon his face. Do you understand? That's why in the New Testament, the blessing of the priest is upon, is the light of his countenance. And is his face to shine upon you. And this light of his countenance, he will now give you peace. So the blessing, true blessing, is the blessing that comes from his face. I went in the house list. That's the blessing of his nature, of his person. Because his person, his soul, his heart is on his face. Do you understand? So if you receive his hand, you may not receive him. But if you receive his face, definitely you have received him. Are we in the house together? Do you get what I said? What did I say? You receive his hand, you may not have received him. His blessing, his person is not in his hand. That's why when anybody pray to God, he can give them anything. He can give them whatever, yet he's not giving them himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if he framed the heaven and the earth, then this whatever his hand gives is inferior. What I say, whatever his hand gives is inferior. Whatever his hand gives is inferior. His real nature, his true self, is on his face. So if his hand made the heaven and the earth, and he's dwelling there, he's dwelling in an inferior substance. He's dwelling in an inferior place. In towns like the new governor, whose real lodge is being worked on, and they got the best hotel for him. It's temporary. Are we in the house, please? No matter what happens, he can't fully open his car there. No, he does use it temporarily, waiting for the time when his real lodge will be ready. Anytime any government is coming in, they will remove everything in the government house. Because they will have to put up the government house based on what the governor wants. Or who the governor is. The seat that is presented love and like to sit in, he may not like it. Because his person determines how his lodge looks like. So the heaven and the earth is the hotel, is the best hotel that is end for a temporary use. I went to the house, please. He said that clearly in Hebrew. Like a garment. Like a vessel will fold them up. They will wax old like garment. But they don't have eternal nature. They get old. When I know in science that the sun as big and as strong as it is, that it burns out. I say, wow. It burns out. If sun burns out, what is that? The earth will pass away. If sun burns out, the earth is so inferior to the sun. If the sun decides to close down, shut down for 2 days, the earth will shut down by itself. If you just say, let me just shut down 2 days and open again. But then it opens again, the earth will be no more. Everything will freeze up. Freeze up. Hallelujah. So it's amazing that the sun can have a dying tide. This is what I call our sun. Have a lifespan. So if God dwell in what has lifespan, then God also has lifespan. Is that not true? Is that not true? God dwells in what has lifespan. He has lifespan. So heaven and the earth have lifespan. Amen. Is it not true? Against the theology. It has lifespan. Next thing, Hebrews 1. Let's read that place. Okay. And our Lord in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. What is heaven? The heavens are the works of what? What happens to them? They shall perish. Works on the earth shall perish. So where will God be? And they all shall wax and fold as dirty garment. You said 10 million. 10 million to God is just like a small thing like that. So somebody has a 10 billion light years. To God, the date is clear. The end is clear. Amen. That's why creatures can't have gens. Because God knows the end. And there could be 5,000 years. Wow. To God, it's just like 2 days. No. It takes like 1,000 years. Huh? 1,000. Like a day. It's like, it's not only a day. It's like, to ascribe it to our memory to make it reasonable. Amen. Amen. So what about in 10,000 years? 10 man is like, Okwide. To God, it's just like, we're just going to start something at that time. We're about to start. Some people say we're something and we are about to study something now. We are about. The about of God, which, that about can just be 500 years. About to. Do you understand? Who said the nation of the earth? Oh, the head will fill with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And every year, churches being burned, Christians being killed, and darkness filling the earth. About, ah, Oluwa. Oluwa. All that could take 5,000 years. And the sons of the wicked will say, we have prevailed. We have prevailed. He said, light will be on the earth. Where is light now? See the old earth? God is dark. Darkness, darkness, darkness. The one that sits in heaven will just laugh. What's left behind? Foolishness. Because the 5,000 years of darkness to God is just like sleeping and waking up. So say, what do we do next to this one? That's why, if you don't have prophetic nature, you can't obey God. You don't obey God. You say, God, you have lied. Ah, you have lied. The devil, I mean, David saw a pain in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a cover. That man is a king. A man. That man is a king. He'll be an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of waters in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So comforting man, so secured man. Kai. That's a man. That man is a king who is reigning in righteousness, who is ruling in judgment. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall echoing. Hello, are we together? The heart also of the right shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the shall said to be bountiful. Everybody will appear in his true estate, right? For the vile person will speak villainy. He will speak naturally his person. And his heart will walk iniquity naturally. When you get there, you don't hide anymore. Amen? Praise God. To practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and it will cause the drink of the thirsty to fall. The instrument also of the shawl of evil, he devises the wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. And even when the needy speaketh right, but the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Amen. Verse 9. But rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall be ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless women. Careless ones strip you and make you bare, and God sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Things are going to go very bad, go from bad to worse. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briar, where there should be bread, where there should be corn, where there should be wine, shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The fort and tower shall be for thence forever. A joy of wide asses. Oh, wow. A pastor of flocks. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the old story will begin to change. And the old story will begin to change from the moment the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. When that happens, the reverse begins to happen. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. That's the coming of the Lord. Changes the terrain. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And all of this looks like they are talking about the nation. Hallelujah. That's Israel. That's how the Lord, brought the thoughts to Israel. It looks like it's talking about a nation. About a land, physical land. But really, it's talking about souls. on the earth. What God owns on earth are souls. All souls are mine. No wonder when the Spirit was poured on them on the day of Pentecost, it was poured on souls. 120 people were there, and the Bible says the Spirit came down, and each fire rested upon every head. To say that when the Spirit is poured out, it was poured on men. Hallelujah. That's why that's Isaiah 32, it began as kings will reign in righteousness, priests will rule in justice, and a man shall be. What is receiving Spirit here, poured here, is what? Is a man. The wilderness will become fruitful field, and the fruitful field will move into a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 7. Let's read verse 7 together. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. So righteousness is a worker. Anywhere it finds itself, it works. It works. Work or it transforms. It transforms. It changes the configuration. It makes anew. It transforms. So the work of righteousness shall be peace. So when Jesus said, learn of me, he said, learn righteousness. Learn my righteousness. Let my righteousness, when you learn it, it will work in you. It will work in you and turn you to an entity of peace. Are you here with me, please? Because let me tell you one thing. We are all alienated from God by work. Somebody walk in us and give us a work through his work. Are we in the house, please? And he made us enemies of God by nature. We don't have to pray for it. It's the effect of his work. Are we in the house, please? So even when God speaks to you, when God comes to you, and God begins to come in with you, you find out that there's an enemy somewhere against what God is saying. That gives you an alternative way of life. For God said to Abraham, leave thy father's house, leave thy people. God was specific. And it was not somebody who reported, it was Abraham who said it out. For it to be reported, leave thy country, leave thy kindred. And God came down, clear. So next one, what? Thy father's house. Then you go to the land, I will show you. When Abraham left all of Chariz, how many people left? He left with his family. Abraham will be a father of faith. He couldn't be at peace with what God said. He obeyed God, but he obeyed God in variance. Oh man, there's still strife. The strife is not because he wants to strive against God, because he has been built to be against God. No faith came to him, right? Faith couldn't have its full effect. Because the full effect of faith is obedience. That you obey the will of God. And when you obey God, you are changed, you are blessed. I went in the house this. That's why he said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. When you obey, you are changed. You are changed. I went in the house this. Praise God. He left with his family, father of faith, and he was going towards the promised land. Can you see that? It was not Abraham's intention. It's what he can carry along. God can carry along with obedience. So it's an incomplete obedience, right? You obey, but he didn't really obey. And that's how we are. When we walk just by faith, that I love God, I want to walk in the will of God, you must accept that you have war in your member. Or you have enemies in your member. Just said the enemy of a man and a member of his household. You can understand sometimes When the word of God comes to you so strong in the church this way, you just know, Jesus, I just got myself set for you this time around. I go on with you. I will follow him. I will follow the Lamb of God. Come the rain, come the wind, come the sunshine, I will follow.
As much as you even love to follow, you broke into tears.
Jesus, I will follow.
While you are saying that, it's because your soul is overwhelmed. The enemies are silenced. The overwhelming presence of God silenced the enemy. But they are still member of the household. So when you step out, your real members will say, we are in the house here with you. We are your friends in the house here with you. You can't follow like that. You understand what is going on. Because, you see, there are issues on ground you have to settle. They are members of the household. So Jesus said, the enemy of a man, that man is a covert. Before he became a covert, he had enemies. He had members of his household that he needed to war against, first of all, and conquer before he can break the truce and come into agreement, or we'll call it reconciliation. Oh my God. So because of anything that can obey God and find joy in obedience without contradictions, it means we have broken the enmity. You have broken the strife. You have broken the contrariness of the soul. Hallelujah. The message of soul salvation is dotted everywhere in Scripture that it becomes the sole intention of salvation. That's why the end of faith. Can you see? The end of faith is what? The salvation of the soul. Can you see that? So the effect of righteousness. When righteousness has its full effect, is that the soul will be at rest. We like sheep are led as dumb. He was led to a shearer. That's Jesus. Isaiah 53. Led a sheep to a shearer. You know shearer? You know the job of shearers? What's their job? Shearers are those who remove flesh from skin, from bone. They will skin the flesh from the bone. They're the shearers. They're not just those who they remove totally. They remove the comfort zone. They remove the air, the wool. And when you remove the wool of an animal, what happens? You expose him to nakedness. You expose him to cold. You can't shear a sheep and it will lie quiet. No. As calm as a sheep is, when you want to shear it, you have to tie it down. Hold it down. It's one thing to be a sheep, but to be led to a shearer and not open the mouth. So these are those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. This one follow the Lamb. They have lost their life. They are not trying to follow the Lamb. They have lost their life. They have broken the resistance of the human faculties that suggests alternative or that brings fear. All the things that is problem to us is not really fear, okay? Fear is in all of us, amen? What cannot make us to go all the way for God is fear. Fear of tomorrow, fear of our life. How will it be like? You are certain this is... And God understands. Why did he understand? He understands the enmity that the enemy has walked there. Praise God. Are we in the house, please? How many of you here likes to follow? How many of you likes to lead?
Every one of us likes to lead. Don't just pretend it. Everyone likes to lead. Some of us like to follow, but not all of us can follow. You get a point in following, you just tell yourself, "Boy." For all the disciples of Jesus, they were tested on the part of following. He was going to prune them to 12. He sent to them, he had what? And everyone just told them, "Say, boy, we didn't sign for courtesy." Hallelujah. You discover that when Paul was raising qualities, he talks about righteousness, faith, patience, honesty. Let's check it out. 1 Timothy, what you should pursue. We come back to where we are here. Praise God. 1 Timothy, hallelujah. Yeah. 6:11, "But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Then you can stand to fight the good fight of faith. We have all these things intact. Patience. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. Can you see why Jesus said, "Learn of me, I'm meek and what?" Nobody can ever be attained to meekness or lowliness by study. It's those who follow after. It is Jesus who knows how to lead a man until his strength breaks. What is he trying to do? He wants to bring it to rest. When he says follow me, it's to learn of me. There's no school. There's no where we teach now. There's no need to teach you today to teach you to actually bring it to rest. I'm teaching you why? Preparing your mind for leading. So when I begin to lead you, you have information that confirms to you that he's the Lord who is doing it. Is that right? Nobody can change you in church. Nobody. That's why you can be in church and grow worse and worse. And be hearing revelation and you are growing worse and worse. It doesn't stop your lying. Amen. Are we in the house, please? Say, how can you be hearing this word and still be like this? The guy is not obeying. He's not following the Lord. He's in church. Follow after. Where's righteousness? It's the Lord who has it. He leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why I told that young rich ruler, "Guy, you want eternal life? Right. Eternal life. Right. You have done the law. Right. Okay? Go take everything you have. Go sell it. Give to the poor. Not alone. Come back. Take your cross. And follow me." Complete document. Take your cross. Because in the cross, you will lose your life. If you don't take cross and follow me, you follow me with your life. The cross is what separates your life from you. He only told him, "Take your cross," means take the oath of separation that bring an end to strife. Why we have problems in times? Because we have not taken the cross. Are we in the house, please? We follow the Lord, but we're not carrying cross. So we are fully alive. Amen. In those days, after meeting in church, people who learn grammar will come and say to me, "Pastor, you said that thing, you should have said it this way." They are aware of every grammatical word transfer. I wonder, how can you be that level of aware and be able to aware of the spiritual movement of the Spirit in the meeting? I don't know the mastery, really. But I just found that those people never made progress. I remember them never made progress. Well, their head is fully aware. So whatever the Spirit is saying, they can't see it. I didn't say you should put your spirit at home. But I'm just saying that a faculty is in you that should take the lead. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Isaiah 32. So the work of righteousness is what? Shall be peace, and the effect of that work is that a man will arrive at quietness and assurance that is eternal. It's not that he cannot doubt, but the issue is that if doubt comes, it's not within, it's from outside. Praise God. So when you hear the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Can you see now that the peace there is the effect of walking in righteousness and allow righteousness to work in us. When it's allowed to fully work in us, then it means you are justified by faith. Justified by faith. You are justified by the works of righteousness, which is faith, right? Then we have peace with what? When we get to peace with God, we do not fear tribulation anymore. Amen. Because in us getting there, they have stressed us into patience. They have taken you through meekness. They have humbled you many times. I went in the house list. In dealing of righteousness, humble you. They have tampered with many things in you, and those things are not able again to react. Not necessarily respond. React. It means that you have broken through. Romans 5, verse 1. Let's read. Therefore, being justified by faith, that justified is walk. Having faith walk through us, or walk in us, or having righteousness walk in us, right? From what we have in Isaiah 32, are we connected together? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the next thing? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So a man at peace does not mean he has arrived at glory, right? But he rejoices in the hope. If they preach hope to many of us, you will lose interest in Christianity. Amen. Let me read this place to us. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Are you not pleased? Let's read again. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does it mean to you? It means Christ is not the best answer for this present life. You're not here tonight. I'm shocking the root of your Christianity. Because godliness are promise of this life and that which to come. He has promise, and it has things it can bring forth now. But if you measure what you can bring forth now with what life present to you, it's not a good choice to make. I'm trying to tell you the meaning of that verse. Who read English in this place? Because really in this life, you will lose many things for the kingdom's sake. All you got to have in 30 years by kingdom activities, he can bring it to you in 2 years, right? It works in manners we don't understand. Am I with you, please? But when you look at evaluate results, maybe you somebody who 15, bright like that, just bright. And you are saying that maybe in the next 4 years at 19, I'll be through with my first degree. I can't have less than 2 1, yeah. Yeah. And by the grace of God, God helping me there. In 5 years, by 24, I must be through with my PhD. Yeah, God helped me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me anybody who has believed Jesus, whose life has gone normal. Tell me. So, amen. Are you in the house here? Somebody who believe you have received what you don't understand. And it's need to teach you to let you know. But it's not like they painted it to you. It's not. This vocation is an eternal, heavenly vocation. It's not an earthly vocation. And the earthly system can be used to interpret this game. But what comes out of the man? What becomes of that man cannot be denied. It's a cover from the storm. It's a cover in the heat. When you get close to him, things around you, just know that something happened to you. You don't know what he's going through himself. But something happens to you. Amen. Because the one who is who covers in the heat, he bears the heat. I mean, he's not bearing the heat. But it's a covering from tempest. But when the tempest is blowing, is it not moving? The branches are moving as if it's going to be broken, but it's solid. But the branches are moving as if it will cut off. But when you're under it, you feel secured. Do you understand? So he's talking about the configuration. That a man can be reconfigured. That the force of the earth has no power over that man. And this man is able to create habitation on the earth. Because the essence of a man is to create habitation. Is to shield the earth. Is to ensure that the earth is not exposed to danger in his days. It's not about the gain of the man. His gain is his covering. Do you understand? So when you say a man is at peace, it means he's aligned. He's transformed. He's transformed. He's rearranged. He's talking about the stamina. Like the Christmas tree that stands tall in the midst of the wind. Yet the wind blows, it's not bending. It's because it has certain things, it's phloem, xylem, all of that, that gives him unusual strength. Amen. Because many people don't count the cost. That's why Jesus chased them back many times. Go and count the cost. It doesn't take any cost to be in church. Well, it takes cost to inherit eternal life. Do you understand? One day somebody said, he said, you know, I don't know. He said, I envy you. I love to pattern my life after you. I laughed. I appreciate that. But you see, work of righteousness. When they want to work righteousness in you, they will take away your right. I wonder if you like to lose your right. That's what the Nigerian death is doing to everybody in Nigeria. Is to kill every Nigerian, take away, hit you on the air, hit you on the face. Take away your right. What you think is right. Redesign it, and their desire actually is the right. Why is it the right? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. If I don't change your right, you won't capture my thoughts. You will think like a man. And when you think like a man, you will pass away with the passing earth. You won't be able to make eternal things to roll on the earth. Amen. I went in the house, please. You will just finish with eating, drinking, having children, car, ride a car, move to Canada, move to London, move to USA, move to Australia, praise the Lord, die. In fact, after when you are 60 years, traveling now to be difficult for you, your knees will be shouting. If you are in the plane for 10 years, you will be shouting. That's the place that attacked you and saying, see, God just helping me. That's faith. Why God just helping me? When you go for 30 years, you lose strength. But when you are seeing this form, it's like you can jump anywhere, you know? Amen. You know, you won't think that when let the brain crash, I will jump down. You think all of things that Outside impossibility is possible. Why? Your strength is intact. But you see, they are talking to you. They're not using your breath to talk to you. They are using the breath of eternity to talk to you. Why? Because you are an eternal being. That when this body expires, you live on. So they have to recalibrate you. Recalibrate you. So change your right. And put a new right in you. And they will keep changing right. Right. What you feel is right. Today, tomorrow is tomorrow right. They will invalidate all your rights. Well, all your rights are very, very weak. Praise God. Even demons don't even fear them. Ordinary demons, not even spirits. They don't fear your rights. Okay. So let's read Ephesians. And that's why we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, not everybody's heart, abroad in our heart, not in our spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We can come to hope and not wrestle with hope, and be satisfied with the hope of the glory of God, and be okay with the hope of resurrection, and live life for that hope. For those people who are like that, when God gives them anything, they appreciate it. They don't count as God owing them. You might think when we receive from God, we just said, is this little thing you have just given us after all this wahala? We think God owes us so much. After all this delay, it's just this Mazda. Your friend are not using Mazda. They are using Benza. Yeah? Those who go by the flesh are using Mazda. After all the waiting, and it's just one Mazda. That was the dealing. That's called dealing. It's not paying you for your service. He can't pay you. He doesn't want to pay you. That is not a good pay. Your reward is life. I am your shield and an exceeding great reward. He's not paying you with that shoe he gave to you. He's not paying you with that husband he gave to you. He's not paying you with that wife he gave to you. He's not paying you with that child he gave to you. He can pay you with those things. He that comes to God must believe that God is, and that is a rewarder of they that diligently seek him. He reward with himself. The Lord is your reward. I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. That's what you have received in Christ Jesus. It's not just a religion. It's eternal life. Eternal life. It's life that expires the present. Come unto me, all ye that labor. It's time to cast away the labor of the flesh with its promises. The reason for righteousness.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130. or 0703-395-8818, or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.